Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 8. Those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society. O Emperor, the lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime either in making money or maintaining family members. Persons devoid of atma-tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children, and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. Right? So sufficiently experienced, because you see everybody around you, it's not working, it's all, you know, falling apart. But even though we have that, we don't notice, we don't apply that within our life. Right? So, yeah. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the controller and savior from all miseries. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duties, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. So whatever process you're taking, karma, jnana, or bhakti, all these, the purpose is to remember the Lord. Right? Because at the time of death you remember the Lord, you go to the Lord.
Right?
Yes.
From this, the thought, by having an academic approach onto the spiritual subject matter, we can't go beyond the sambandha. Yeah.
Basically, yes. Abhidayam Prabhupada, yes, that's a very good point.
Because he has said, in order to get rid of free from miseries, then we have to hear about, recite. Then generally, every time we people ask, how practically, in a practical world, we need to deal. But
yeah, but they don't apply this practically. Yeah, it's just a matter of whatever it is that you value, that you want, you'll practically apply that. So it's just a matter of, since the speculation itself is the process and goal, then there's no need of applying it. And so then they'll look at other things being practical. You know, like that. O King Parikit, mainly the topmost transcendentalists who are above the regulated principles and restrictions take pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. So for them it's not a practice, it's what they like to do. Right, that's what they mean by being above the rules. So they're not hearing and chanting because of the rules. They're hearing and chanting because they like to hear. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Sri Krishna to Uddhava, 11:20, 7-9, and 11. Among these three paths, jnana yoga, the path of philosophical speculation, is recommended for those who are disgusted with material life and are thus detached from ordinary fruit of activities. Those who are not disgusted with material life having many desires yet to fulfill, should seek perfection through the path of karma yoga. Right, so it's just a matter of what it is that you have, that's what you do. If you can just straight deal with the bhakti, then that's the best. But if not, then if there's material desires, then you use karma yoga to serve Krishna. And if you're finished with that, then you use jnana yoga. Because jnana yoga will detach you from the subtle aspects. Right? Karma from the gross, you know, those gradually bring you to that platform of knowledge and detachment. It'll bring you to there. But it's just a matter, do you start on bhakti, do you start on jnana, do you start on karma? Because karma will lead to the jnana, jnana will lead to the bhakti. If it's all done in line with devotional service, right? Because sadhana is called bhakti. Right? Because when you're defining it, then the practice of devotional service and sadhana is called, it's called bhakti. Then when you get to the liberated platform, that's called bhava. That practice. Right? So that's bhavsan. Then when you get beyond that, that's called prema. Does that make sense? So it's all bhakti, but you just call it bhakti. So that therefore someone's practicing bhakti. It's bhakti yoga. Does this make sense?
Why is bhava sadhana categorized as different from vaidhi and prema, and as a third category? Kind of, like,
why is bhava... because you're liberated, but you don't have prema. It's the neutral position.
That is okay.
Shri Krishna Uddhava. Okay, no, it's just messing back. If somehow or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glory, such a person, being neither very disgusted with nor attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. Right? Because if you're too attached, you get distracted. If you're disgusted, you get distracted. Mm-hmm. Right? The point is that you just see things in connection to the Lord, those things that are for you to see in connection to the Lord, that's where you focus. Areas that are not yours, why get involved? Does that make sense? As long as one is not satiated by fruit of activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam, Kirtan, and Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. Right, because so taste means it's actually there, not that you've tasted the taste. It means you're always tasting the taste. That you've tasted the taste, that's just part of the process. Right, you come in contact with devotional service, there'll be a taste. Because of that, there'll be some attachment. Does that make sense? And there's some little bit of that faith becomes a little bit steady. That, you know, you can see that it's a prominent thing, then that position, that's called Shraddha. Right? Then because of that, you want to continue that, so you take up the association of devotees. Then you want to be more serious, so you take up the Bhajana Kriya. Does that make sense? So all the different aspects are all there, it's just which one's prominent. One who is situated in his prescribed duty, free from sinful activities and cleansed of material contamination, in this very life obtains transcendental knowledge or, by fortune, devotional service unto me. Right? Because they're both transcendental knowledge and devotional. They're both free from the material entanglement. But it's just a matter of whether you see it that, okay, this is how the world works. I'm the soul. I'm separate from that. This is Krishna. This is like this. Or you see it in context of that service to Krishna. Does that make sense? No?
Yes.
Okay. Shri Krishna Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam, from 11:21-2. Steadiness in one's own position is declared to be actual piety, whereas deviation from one's position is considered impiety. In this way, the two are defined, are definitely ascertained. Right? So, it's piety and impiety are therefore defined according to your being situated in Krishna consciousness or not. Right? Does that make sense? So one's position is position as servant of Krishna, as the soul, or seeing oneself as the controller and enjoyer. That'll be one aspect. Another is that your position on where you should be in Krishna consciousness. This is where you can function. So acting according to that, that's proper. Acting less than that, that's not proper. So, does that make sense? Yeah, so in other words, you're always progressing. So whatever your situation. Right? So you can also take it farther, is that you have your duties, doing those duties, that's proper. Doing someone else's duties, that's not proper. Even though it's within devotional service. Right? But it all comes back to, because what's favorable to Krishna? Yes.
So if you look at all the ingredients, initial faith is there, so you get some taste. Sadhana is there to help progress. Association with devotees, pushing you forward. At the time of initiation, the guru takes your karma. We don't know how much he takes, but he takes a good chunk, apparently.
Okay.
So, you know, the road is free. Why is it that some devotees constantly struggle? And some devotees just drop out? As if they've never been in Krishna consciousness.
It's just a matter of also just how much is there, how much practice is there. Because when it says that it takes many lifetimes, then that's actually the position. To come to that point where one has that, you know, full faith in that, that takes many, many lifetimes. So the point is how many lifetimes has that person been involved before this moment? So those that you see, they come in contact and move forward, then there's a good chance they've been doing more. And those who come in contact and then disappear, then they've done less. But the advantage is that it's never lost. So at any time they could take it up. And it's not that, and the point is at this point, anybody could go all the way forward with it. It's just a matter of their determination. But generally we see is that, yeah, I mean, because in other words, you have the aspect of rag, it can move forward very fast. If it's not, then it moves forward gradually. That's therefore sadhana bhakti, the vaidhi bhakti is there. So even those in rag, they'll follow sadhana. But they're following it not because the rule says, it's because they want to, like it mentioned before. They have a taste. They want to do it. Does that really make sense? Yeah. So it's just a matter of how much one's been involved. So one can move forward at any point. So one lifetime you can do it. Right? So it's just like if Maharaj Katvanga perfects his life in a moment. So basically you have from one moment is how short it could be up to the rest of this life. So it can be done. It's just a matter of if one wants to take it seriously. So one always tries to create those environments in which people can be involved, be inspired, and all these things. And you see what things actually do make it work. And then, they come, like you see, so many devotees became devotees simply because the Hare Krishnas are giving out free food. You know, so they come for the food, and then they liked it, and they kept coming, and then they joined. Like that. But others, they came for the food, and then didn't, but they're favorable. You know, they appreciate. You know, now and again, some devotee was telling me the other day, they bumped into, so they were talking to somebody, you know, nicely situated and all that. And they were talking about something and that, and then somehow the conversation came around, and then they were relating how they went to university in Gainesville. In Gainesville, they've been distributing prasad there since time immemorial. Like that. And so, you know, how they would go and they'd take prasad every day and everything like this. And so then, now they could appreciate. But, you know, it wasn't enough that they became a devotee at that time, but it's still there. And then coming in contact again, that'll move it forward a little bit more. While others, you see, they take prasad and then they join. So it's up to the individual how quickly they want to move or not. It's the choice of the living entity. So it's just...
Sometimes, everybody has the desire to move forward, but then you have offenses, blocks you.
That offense is blocked, but also just means, yeah, you could take it. It's just a matter of which offense. It can be maintaining material attachment. Mm-hmm. You know, not necessarily... They may be very nice and deal with devotees really nicely and do everything like that nice, But they maintain material attachments, so then they'll grow, because they grow along with the creeper. When you water with the Hare Krishna mantra, they also grow. So that's why it says you have to be careful to pull out the weeds. So they're not very careful at weeding. See, it's one of the... See, people before lived in houses that had grounds around them, and so naturally as a kid, then you have to help with the weeding and all that kind of stuff like that. And now that they live in apartments, they don't know what weeding is, so they don't even know what they're supposed to do. These are problems. You know? Maybe some devotee should make a how to weed app, you know, so you can go there and practice pulling out weeds. And then what's the difference between the actual creeper and the weed, and what kind of weed it is?
Just buy plastic flowers. No weeds, no growth.
Yeah, true. It doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. So you better start off with a really big plastic flower, because that's all the bigger it's going to get, right? Yeah. Okay, so this is a very important point. That defines what's pious and impious. All other piety and impiety is based on this. Right? This is the principle. Then it comes down to the material world that somebody, based on their conditioning, then they perform their activities based on their position. But we still call it impiety because it's not connected to the Lord. Because one's own position, a sad-dharma, is serving the Lord. But within the ad-dharma, then you have dharma and ad-dharma, right? It means within not serving Krishna, you still have the material piety and impiety. So they're a reflection of the original. Does that make sense? Prabhuda to Maharaj Nimi, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3, 30-31. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And thus, by encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. Right? Because you're giving up material sense gratification. It's not specific. It's just you're giving up the principle. You may start by specific, but actually you're trying to give up the idea that you're looking for sense gratification. Does that make sense? Yeah. So all suffering comes from that. Because you're trying to enjoy the senses. When you're not, then you'll suffer. Right? And even in the process of trying to enjoy, then you'll be suffering. Does that make sense? You know, it's like going against the current. The devotees of the Lord constantly discuss the glories of the personality of Godhead amongst themselves. Thus they constantly remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. In this way, by their devotion to the principles of bhakti yoga, the devotees please the personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, the devotees awakened to pure love of Krishna Godhead. And thus, even within this world, the spiritual bodies exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as standing of the hairs on end. Right, yeah, so that association, if you keep yourself in the association, so if at least if there's that determination to keep oneself in the association of devotees, then one will advance. But if one doesn't make that effort, then how you'll advance? What will be the inspiration? So that's why the whole point of the temples, the communities, and that, it's for association. That's the actual point of it. Right? The preaching programs that give that opportunity for association. That's what it's all about. Because in association, one advances. Right? Yes?
The point was mentioned that we have to learn to associate with devotees. And before, the ashram training was very strong.
Yes.
And nowadays, as we see the training online, it's the most prominent, and then some people get still training, but community members, they're not very interested, as it mentions here, to associate, and the center of the association is glorifying the Lord. You know, some come for social, some come for kirtan, but it depends who sings, actually. That defines whether we come or not. So how can we nowadays, you know, deal with those difficulties or obstacles, let's say?
Learn how to do nice kirtan that they like and how to cook good. and have the program for free. Right? Nobody has to clean up, no one has to cook, no one has to do anything. They just have to attend.
Then it turns into entertainment. That's what people expect from every program. It's like...
Well, that you just do what you do, and then those who will appreciate will stay, and those who won't, won't. So even if there's a small group, like Prabhupada, when he was talking about the League of Devotees, then the community meant one person preached to 10 people. He didn't try to go beyond 10. Mm-hmm. He preached to 10. And by having programs at his house, you know, like once a week with those 10 people, then with time, after some time, then they start to develop themselves that interest in pure devotion and that preaching mood. So then with time, then they start to develop and preach to 10 people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then, you know, from that, then you're directly only dealing with 10. But indirectly, you're dealing with 100 people. You know, you're dealing with 100. And then after some years than those, it goes again. Now you're dealing with 1,000. So it expands. So you're only dealing with 10. It's a Vedic system. When you teach a group, and they become senior, they teach the next generation. Is that sense? So you try like that. If we try to make it a big, big program and everybody come, then we'll be frustrated. But if you find that there's a few people that like coming and getting together, then we do that. And then with time, they may want to help this, that, and with time, they'll start their own programs. You know, so it's a gradual process. It takes time. But basically, the main point is find those who are interested. Even if it's one person, then that's association, and then you start from there. You know that we can do things very big. Then that's very special. That's, you know, part of what's unique of the Lord's mission. But at the same time, it's not about volume. You know, does that make sense? So we will not compromise volume, quality for volume. We don't take that volume is the symptom. So we want quality in quantity, because there's always a thing: is it quality or is it quantity? We're interested in quality in quantity. So you start with quality and then you expand from there. You know, so wherever the opportunity is, we take. So it's a small group, but it's steady. You continue with that, and eventually something will happen. So, but as you mentioned, good kirtan, good prasad,
always wins.
Yeah. You know, even if nothing more than good prasad. I remember some, like I said, I did one program where they put out that we're doing, you know, some discussion in the evening, and in that community, you know how everywhere else is you do the program and then you sit and eat together?
Yeah.
This community, no, you ate first. Yeah. And then you have the program. And so then 200 devotees showed up for prasad. And then after prasad, there were 30 devotees there for the program.
Yeah,
12%. Yeah, you know, so like that. So that's what you do. But the point is they're taking prasad. And it was based on this principle of that you said about that person cooked really good. That's why everyone came. If they weren't a good cook, then, you know, those 30 people would have showed up. That's it. You know? And so. Sat.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt you. Could you expand on the importance that Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, had commented on? I mean, when the first devotee left the movement in sannyasi, Prabhupada was quite, appeared to be distraught. He was disturbed, you know. And I know with Bhakti Sankasara, Bhakti Maharaj, and when devotee Brahmacharya went off, he stopped the program and, you know, he made installation of that temple and not be able to and he sent the devotees to find that, the watchmaker devotee program. So sometimes we forget how we reach out to preach so much, but to keep in-house and create an environment. I think my question would be, if you could elaborate on how important is the environment that we as individuals will create so people who do appear to go off have a support system to come back in a loving environment and we don't keep pushing them back further away in a more neophyte stage. Does that make sense?
Yes. What's the question? Question is the element of, okay, we're making devotees, is there an importance in, you know, in the community? So we make devotees, you know, we call it that community, but how much is important the nourishment of the community? Like that. So it's very much part of the mission. It's three, Lord Chaitanya came for three reasons. So the Samkirtan mission is one of them. The nourishing the devotees who are taking part is the second. And then himself tasting Krishna consciousness is the third. So the point is, all these have to go on. If we're tasting Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees, then when we preach, people come into that. So we're looking at, oh, we're preaching, you know, but is there a need of this community aspect? But the point is that community aspect is always supposed to be there. And then you go and invite people to that. Otherwise, they're going to come into nothing. You know, so since the idea is that it's just about preaching and that's it and everything else is maya, then you end up with no community. Because all those who make that point, they all are not brahmacharis anymore. They all became grihasthas. But because being a grihastha and community and all that's maya, therefore there's no Krishna consciousness in it, therefore there's no need to come together. Well, if you base it on that this social interaction between devotees centered around Krishna is very important, and cultivating the devotees and all that is important, then in the preaching, then people come and join that. And why would there be this unless the individual themselves sees the value of being involved themselves in Krishna consciousness? So therefore, the individual is trying to be Krishna conscious, then they appreciate that association of devotees, then preaching that, then they invite people into that environment. So that's the difficulty. It's thought that if you're being serious, then it's just the preaching or just the book distribution and everything else is literally maya. Like that. And so then the point is where are those people?
In maya.
In maya, yeah.
Do we keep, tendency appears to be we tend to push them away like they're not lepers, but it's not the association we want, so we gravitate to the higher association, but yet...
No, but we're not gravitating to the higher side. Where's this higher association?
Mm-hmm.
Point is if you can't appreciate... Association is one thing, and then within that there's higher association. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so all those, that aspect is there. We push people away because of the concept that morality is the basis of Krishna consciousness. So if someone's done something wrong, then they're eternally damned. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it also depends on the background. Yes.
Keshav Maharshi once told us that we sometimes think that, okay, a new person comes to a program and we're preaching to them, but once they, you know, shave up and join the temple, then we don't preach to them. But
no, the point is that's now where it gets serious. Yeah. In other words, Bhajana Kriya is where it becomes serious. But we're taking it, it's like that, yeah. That's the whole point. It's like you have a boat, you're out in the ocean, you're picking up souls, and pulling them up onto the boat, and that's all you do. And the boat gets full of people, and you just keep pulling people up. You don't feed them. You don't take care of them. You don't anything. They start falling off the other side of the boat. Right? And then they float around. You go, oh, here's some people. Pull them up. Yeah. So we have to understand it's a complete pack. That's why it's Samkirtana. The difficulty comes is, yes, book distribution, that direct preaching is very important. That's the front line preaching. But it's not the only aspect. Right? Anybody who thinks that that's it and everything else is useless is not actually a front line preacher, literally. Does that make sense? Because just like, let's say you have the front line on a battlefield. Sorry about the battlefield, what do you call it? Analogy, but hey, what the heck. So, you have the battlefield, and the people are fighting in the front. But why are they able to fight in the front? Right? They're all out there with, blunderbusses and all that, and they just stick some dust inside and throw in a bunch of rocks, and then it shoots and works, right? Like that. They just live off of the air. Right? So in other words, what you see on the battlefield, I can't remember, there's a proportion, but it's something like 1/10 of what's actually required to make the whole thing work. They're the ones that are seen doing the work, but all those things behind it is what makes it happen. That's why some people who are very intelligent in the battle, they don't bother with the guys on the front. They keep them from moving forward, but they destroy what's behind them. And so then they can't fight. Does that make sense? So that's someone who actually understands. But you understand it's all about that frontline preaching. But it's not, that's the occupation. Right? The Brahmin, he preaches, he teaches. Right? But the point is he has a lifestyle. So that means you can actually talk about other things than book distribution. You can actually talk about Krishna. Or, you know, other aspects of the deities, or the kirtan. You know, you get the same thing. It's always, unless it's the holy name and all this, and then everything else is bogus. You know, so they're not into deity worship, this, that. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes. Also, it takes, like, no more effort to, as the person is growing.
It takes more effort.
Because... Yeah. Then you see, instead of one person, that same effort, I get 10 people within.
Yeah.
That is
so. So then it's volume.
Yeah,
then it's so volume. We're not talking about. So you do. So, yeah. That's important. But the point is that cultivation, because they're cultivated, and then that one person will go and make so many devotees. So it's that you're trying to engage everybody by connecting with Krishna, but that's why they talk about developing love for Krishna. So it's not just that you shave them up. Right? So it's not like, you know, how you say, how many seekers are there or something, you know, like that. It's like, you know, how are they developing in devotional service? It's not that's not important. You have to bring them to the point of surrendering to Krishna. But once they've surrendered, then you have to take it. It's a package. It's from, you know, they say from Shraddha to Prema. That's how it works. So, very good. So community is, it's got to have a center, a common center. Right? So, here's the difficulty is, okay, now let's say you take a a cosmopolitan environment. I mean, where you have so many different backgrounds and everything.
Multinational.
Huh? Yeah, multinational, you know, like a melting pot. So, what's the common ground between all of them?
Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, it's Krishna consciousness. Now, if you remove Krishna consciousness, the only thing they have is sense gratification. So that's it. You take away the jeans, McDonald's, depending on if you're more north or south, than Taco Bell, you know? We leave anything out? Jack in the Box, pizza. You know, I mean, that's it. That's all that's in common. Otherwise, how they value, how they interact with their family, what they do, what they consider, a family or who's close or friends, there's no commonality. Zero. Hence, the lack of community. Because there's only Krishna consciousness. But, as Prabhu pointed out, unless it's, you can do this fabulous, you know, how you say, you know, Broadway presentation of, an entertainment for the night, you know, then they don't want to show up because, you know, somehow or another, somebody else on Netflix is more entertaining. Right? You know, so then that's the difficulty. There is no commonality. So, what's the common social system that everybody can take part in? Varnashram. That's it. Everything else is regional. Everything else is by a specific combination of the mode. Varnashram is mode of goodness. Anybody, any soul can function within that. And even if they don't function, at least if they function within just pure Krishna consciousness, then it'll work. So, if there's no common values in society, then you can't hold it together as a community, you know, from that platform. And if they're not that interested in Krishna consciousness and that, then there's nothing else there to hold it together. So that's what Prabhupada gave us. He gave us devotional service, and he gave us as a social system, Varnashram. So it's exactly the thing that everyone's looking for. But, you know, Prabhupada's put this nice little pedestal there with this jewel on it, but we're looking around in the garbage because how could it be so easy? And also then according to there, Krishna says you do your duties, you know, in connection with him. That's pious. You don't do your duties connected to him. That's impious. So the point is no one wants to, no one's pious enough to appreciate doing their own duties. You know, therefore it's everybody's rights and everybody else's obligations and all that kind of stuff. And then nothing works. And then we think it's something's wrong with Krishna consciousness. I remember one devotee telling me, you know, grew up in New York in an apartment building. And the whole building was full of people. He didn't know his neighbors. He had never seen them. He knew they lived there, but he had never seen them, never interacted, nothing. And at the same time, probably wasn't interested either. You know, he was probably just as happy that no one came by. Because there's no common values. So that's the difficulty. You know, what is it? I think it was Caesar in the apartment building he lived in. Because his mother, she owned an apartment building. And so that's how she maintained herself, was the rent from the apartment building. Her father had built the building for her. And so then he knew seven languages fluently from living in that building.
It was before internet.
Sorry?
It was before internet.
Before internet. Yeah, yes, it was
you
before
internet.
Otherwise, then he wouldn't know any language, right? Does that work? So in other words, the solution's very simple, but as Prabhu pointed out, it takes a lot of work. But if we speculate on the solution, then neither will have direction and neither will anything work. So whatever we do try to make the effort, it won't get the results. Okay. But that's the solution. That's what makes it work. So since that is the solution, then we should ask how to apply that rather than should we be doing this? You know what I'm saying? Because we say, we're Westerners, how does this apply to us? But the point is then when those Westerners go to Europe, then they don't want to follow those rules either. So it's not about being a Westerner. You know what I'm saying? It's very regional. And then even within that melting pot, they only want to follow what's their area, you know, where they're from. Because definitely those guys in the same area, the guys with the double cabin muscle truck with two shotguns in the back window is probably more friendly than who's in the community. even though they think we're the weirdest guys around, but they'll probably say hello and interact and, you know, stuff like that. So that's the problem, is that one has to understand that without common values, there is no community. So we can get together for a festival because of that commonality of Krishna consciousness. But when it comes to the prasad, how we dress, how we talk, how we interact, what we talk about, then there's nothing in common. You find your few friends, and that's good. But it's not enough for community. Unless you're comfortable with your community is five people. And that's on a good day. And that probably includes your parakeet, hamster, and dog. But, okay. Chapter 12. Devotional service and practice, sadhana bhakti. So that was a general overview of devotional service, how by connecting to Krishna, then all perfection can be gained, prema can be gained. You remove yourself from the material consciousness, which is the cause of all problems for the living entity. It's the natural position for the living entity. So then one may ask, well, how do we take up Krishna consciousness? What is that practice? So now we have here devotional service and practice. Vritti, having analyzed in chapter 11 the process of devotional service, in chapter 12 the author describes the devotional service and practice, sadhana bhakti. Avanti Brahmana, chanting. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:23-49. Persons who identify with this body, which is simply the product of the material mind, are blinded in their intelligence, thinking in terms of I and mine, because of their illusion of this is I, but that is someone else. They wander in endless darkness. Right? So you first have to understand in sadhana that we're the soul, not the body. Otherwise, if we identify with the body, that's the problem. Because when we say we're Westerners, then where have we identified with? The body. Right? Does that make sense? You can say, but without any identification, you can't function. And I doubt anyone would say that, but just throwing in a little philosophy. But do you have to identify with the pots in the kitchen to be able to cook good nicely? You just have to accept what those pots do. Right? If you put the colander on the fire and then pour some water in there, you might be surprised. And then what's your conclusion going to be? Cooking doesn't work. Right? Yes. Sri Krishna Uddhava from Canto 11, Chapter 22 and 23. Lord Krishna said, the material mind of men is shaped by the reactions of fruitive work. Along with the five senses, it travels from one body to another. The spirit soul, although different from this mind, follows it, right? So, follows along with the five senses, it travels, right? So, shaped by fruit of work. Now, if you give up fruit of work and you take up devotional work, the mind will be shaped by that. So then you don't travel from gross body to gross, you travel to the spiritual body. Right? Yes?
So does that mean that if we have some kind of material desires, that's because we've done these things in the past?
Yeah, otherwise why would you... why would you want to, you know, snowboard off a cliff and then, then pull out your parachute and then go down and then land in a raft and then go down the rapids and then... like that. Why would you do that unless you've done some of this before?
Okay, so it's not like we've seen someone do it and we think, okay, that would be a good idea.
But why would you think it's a good idea unless you've done it before? Uh-huh. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it means you see somebody there enjoying, you may want to enjoy, so you try it. And if it works for you, great. You know, it's just like... there are people, they go out skiing, they break every bone in their body, and when they're, after the Minerva cast is taken off, and they've gone through their, what do you call it, physical therapy and all that, then they're back on the slopes. Right? You know, one person goes down the slope, first time hits a tree or something, that's it. They go home, they don't do it anymore. So it just means that it's just developed after lifetimes. like Prabhupada mentioned about Ravi Shankar, that he's that good because he's played sitar for 1,000 lifetimes. Right? And he knows 25% of what his guru knows. Right? So how many lifetimes are the other, you know, disciples and the guru, how many have they been doing?
4,000.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, the guru of 4,000. Like, yeah. Math, right? Okay. You understand? So you're talking about, you know, a long time here. So someone who's expert in something, they've just done it so much. You know? What is it? No, what is that? Is that? I don't even remember. You know, guys like, you know, Ronaldo or Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
They just, probably, however much it takes to get good at kicking a ball around, but, you know, probably hundreds of lifetimes. Right? Right? You know, so the point is that they've, you know, been out there in the street, you know, and kick, and there's nothing else to do, so you kick a ball around. And then you, you know, so you've done these things before. And even if you haven't just now, consecutively, we're going through the cycle of the samsara. It's just, you know, it's just around it. What else is there to do? We have a ball. What can you do with that ball? Right? You can throw it through a hoop. You can throw it at each other. You know, you can put it into, you know, through a net. You can throw it into, what do you call it, some posts. And so, you know, and it going through the posts or going through into that, wherever it is you do, do you do that with your hands? Do you do it with a bat? What kind of bat do you use? You know, do you use a stick? You know, does that make sense? Like that. And so now you have that, okay. But now do you do that on dry land? Do you do that in water? Do you do that on ice? You know? Like that. So, I mean, how many things can you do with this ball? After a while, you run out of options. Right? And so that's what you have. Does that make sense? You know, you like it warm, you play hockey. You like it cold, you play ice hockey. You know, does that make sense? You know, so it's just a matter of whether you were a flamingo in your last life or whether you were a penguin. You know, it's just you make your choice.
If you're too much attached to the ball, you catch the ball and run.
Yeah, then you catch the ball and run. Then everybody else does because there's only one ball. Right? You know. Like that. It's like this one. I that story. There's one of the, I think, British governors, and he arranged for one of the kings in, I think it was in Kerala. I think it was Trivandrum King. And he arranged, he brought players and arranged to demonstrate a soccer match. And so then they're there playing and this and that, and after the game, then the governor asked the king what he thought of the game. He says, it seems to be a poor man's game. He said, poor man's game? He says, yeah. He says, you have, you know, 10 guys and they have to fight over one ball. He says, if I was arranging, I'd give each one of them a ball. You know, he says, well, what's the problem? Yeah. You know, that could make it something to eat, right? You know, does that make sense? You know, you have the... you know, like they have a bagel or something, and you throw the bagel, and then whoever gets it gets to eat it. And if the other guys are trying to get it, so it's either if you can get to the goal, then you get so many points. But if you can eat it before getting there, you get even more points. You know?
That's where the guna contest comes.
Sorry.
That's where the guna contest comes.
Yeah. Yes.
And the kings, they don't go out unless they have their own stuff. Why they need to fight for that?
Yeah, yeah. Why would they have to fight for that? You know, so.
Therefore, like to Prabhu's question earlier asked, why do some devotees, they go away? So like they have done previously Krishna consciousness, so they pick up sometimes 16 ones very easily, and sometimes when they haven't done anything and it's the first life and they have shot,
yes,
then they may go away.
Yes, yes.
So then the same principle applies in Bhakti also.
Yeah, yeah. That's the same. But the point is that even a moment is enough to perfect life. So it's not that they would have to. You can't just say, oh, it's because they haven't done so much. It's just they're not so interested, so they don't take it so seriously. And someone who's more interested take it seriously. So the point is is, generally speaking, you've done it for some time, because in the material world, people aren't interested in God consciousness. Right? But the soul can, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, then become more serious.
Because usually devotees, they propagate this particular idea that it is not possible to go back home in one lifetime.
Because if they say it's not possible to go back home, then you won't criticize them for not being serious. Otherwise, why propagate such a bogus philosophy? Why would you come up with such a philosophy? The Shastra says, Prabhupada said, the other Acharyas say, so why would you do that? Or don't join ISKCON, join the Madhvas. They say it takes 14 lifetimes. And that's a serious practitioner. Because like Gopa Kumar, you go from here, you go to the heavenly planets, this, that, you get up to Brahma Loka, and then from there you go back to Godhead. Yeah, the whole scenic tour, like that. So it's mentioned there in Shastra. It is one of the paths. So if you want to take more lifetimes, then, close. You got close, but, leave out the Gaudiya part of the Brahma Madhva. Because the Brahma Sampradaya, you can go in one lifetime. The Gaudiya can go one, but in the Brahma Madhva, then that they generally take 14 lifetimes. So it's just so that they don't have to feel the need to be so serious. That's all. Otherwise, why bring that up? What's the inspiring point? Unless, it doesn't matter. I don't worry about the onions on the pizza. It's not gonna, it's going to take more than one lifetime anyway. My dear Uddhava, fixing your intelligence in me, you should thus completely control the mind. This is the essence of the science of yoga, right? Because yoga is about the mind, uplifting the mind, as we mentioned. Varnashram is for maintaining the body. Yoga is for elevating the mind. And Krishna consciousness is for elevating the soul. Right? So we use all three together. Right? So to that degree, so if you can function just on that platform, the soul, just absorbed in Krishna, you already get the benefit of the other two. But if not, then you bhakti with, that aspect of yoga, so there's very minimal on the external aspects. But if there's more need within the material, then the varnashram will accommodate that. And varnashram's so nice, it can go from, you can be a smart at one end and a paramahamsa at the other. And still follow the basic, essential rules. Because the essential rules of varnashram are devotional practices. Does that make sense?
But here it looks it's bhakti only. Fixing your intelligence in you, you should just completely control the mind. Yeah, so controlling the mind, but then isn't bhakti.
This last sentence. This is the essence of the science of yoga.
Yeah, but it's bhakti yoga. Why not bhakti? Because it is Krishna himself, not on Paramatma or anything else.
Okay, so now, fixing the intelligence in Krishna can completely control the mind, right? That's bhakti. Yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing that right now?
Yes.
Okay, then you don't have to worry about that. But for most likely everybody else in the room, they want to get to that position. So they're going to get to that position by using this science of yoga. And that science of yoga, then we see it includes it from the highest, the sadhana bhakti, then jnana yoga, and karma yoga. So they're all seen in connection with devotional service, but it's because you're dealing with either, sensual, emotional desires, so then you have the karma, then you have the intellectual desires, you're dealing with the jnana, and they engage those in Krishna's service. So the essence is fixing intelligence in me. So if you're using karma yoga, the essence is to fix the intelligence in Krishna, right, through action. If it's jnana yoga, it's to fix the mind in Krishna through knowledge, seeing everything in connection with Krishna. And even in bhakti, it's not about the practices as much in that it's, you're doing that to please Krishna. So that one-pointed focus on Krishna That's then the perfection. So yoga means to connect with the Supreme, so that's the essential point. But all these others are part of the processes used either to become perfect or even after they're perfect, they still use them because then in Braj, they identify, you know, following the human process. So Nanda Baba, even though he's the father of God, he's sitting there thinking that I have to do all these different activities, you know, as the king of Braja and as a grihasta and as a father and as a husband and all these things. We're good?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Even though neglected, insulted, ridiculed, or envied by bad men, right? Notice it mentions bad men, not good men. Or even though repeatedly agitated by being beaten, tied up, or deprived of one's occupation, spat upon, or polluted with urine by ignorant people. One who desires the highest goal in life should, in spite of all these difficulties, use his intelligence to keep himself safe on the spiritual platform. So that means always absorbed in Krishna. So all these things, you don't look at, oh, but this is not right, this is not proper, how can you do devotional service? It's a matter of you just focus on Krishna, despite what goes on. Because this is 11th canto, you see that the Avantipur Brahman, then he was in these six, all these things are happening to him. Right? It's not that he's just throwing this out just because it sounds great, very poetic. You sound like a stoic, like that. He's actually experiencing this. But the point is, you're trying to keep the intelligence safe by being engaged in devotional service. Right? So depending upon one's position, then that devotional service will have just the external aspects. But because you're doing those external aspects to please Krishna, it's devotional service. Or it includes the mind, includes the intelligence. Does that make sense? It includes that devotion. And so it just naturally develops. Yeah. Nard Muni to Maharaj Yudhishthira, Canto 7, Chapter 1. My dear King Yudhishthira, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familial relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. Right? So in some way you're absorbed in Krishna. So that's the whole point. Being absorbed in Krishna will bring you to Krishna. Now being absorbed in connection with Krishna in a favorable way brings you even more nice results in connection with Krishna. Right, because just being absorbed even in envy will get you to Vaikuntha. But as if you have that affection and follow in the footsteps of those with that affection, then you'll attain these even more wonderful positions. So the point is, Krishna is so wonderful, any connection with him is perfect. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of, since we're trying to get something higher than what Kamsa got, that's why I will point out there's a weakness here. He's absorbed in Krishna, but it's not favorable. But because it's absorbed in Krishna, he will attain transcendence. So, Sri Krishna to Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:27-7. One should carefully worship me by selecting one of the three methods by which I receive sacrifice: Vedic, Tantric, or mixed. Right, so Vedic means you just have those aspects that are Vedic. You can use that just fully as this complete system in itself. You have the Tantric, which is all the bead syllables and that technical system. You can use that itself, or you can use the mixed, which is known as Pancharatra. Right, so which one we do? So for us, then we've been given the mixed system, the Pancharatric system. But when things that are specifically Vedic, like samskars, that we use the Vedic. But our whole method is that when we approach it, we'll do it in the mood and all that of the mixed. Yes.
Would you please explain what the tantras are?
Tantras are all the bijas and all this kind of jazz.
Bijas?
Bijas.
Bijas.
Seeds.
Oh, seeds.
Yeah.
So are those, so like the four Vedas, they are also...
They're Vedic. From that you get agama, which means comes from that. So you have systems like Vaikanas, which is straight Vedic. Everything's a Vedic mantra. Tantra means it's not a Vedic mantra.
So it's not coming from Vyasadeva.
They're like Gautamiya Tantra. That's a tantra. Like that. Does that make sense? That's like when you offer something to deities. Idam Asanam. That's tantric. That's not Vedic. Vedic, you'd have a mantra that the word asan is mentioned in the mantra. And so you'd have to chant that Vedic mantra. But it means chanting with the swaras and everything. So you have to have the brahminical nature, be born into that kind of thing. You know, practice that, then train in it, then you can function in that. Otherwise, it just won't happen.
So it's much more rigid, in a sense.
It's much more rigid. So the tantra and the Vedic are rigid. The mix, that's open to anybody who qualifies by surrender to guru and initiation. Then they can practice that one. But the other ones, it's much more rigid. Like Vaikanas, if you're not born in those families, you can't use Vaikanas. Because it's all about that perfection of chanting those mantras. So they all have to be perfect. The ritual has to be perfect. It's very, you know, slow, exact. You'd have to be very, very much in goodness to be able to appreciate it. There's nothing short. You know what I'm saying? So for us, even the Pancharatra has longer stuff, but we, by Acharyas, they've given us shorter forms of it. So it's the tantric aspect, but it's short ones. But it's all in connection with Krishna. So it's does that make sense? So it's all using the short forms of the worship of the tantras, all in connection with Krishna. So any other kind of tantras, the Devi, Shaiva, and all that, we don't bother with. So it's very, you know, because the other one, you have to worship the paraphernalia, because that's, it's non-different from Krishna. Worship Krishna means that I haven't offered the lamp yet. I'm worshiping him as the receiver of this. And then I'm worshiping the process. Then myself, I have to be purified. Then I'm picking up the lamp, and now I'm going to offer it to the Lord. Right? And so all of that has ritual. Does that make sense? And so that, you know, it would probably, I don't know how long it would take you, 45 minutes to do an arti. You know. So, who can do that? And that's Pancharatra. So we've been given a much more, because Hari Bhakti Vilas mentions that system. So we've been given, you know, a much shorter form. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us a shorter form. And even that will say, oh, it's ritualistic, it's smartas, and this. We don't even know what a smarta is. You know, the smarta could come up and, you know, splatter water in your face from an Achman cup, and you wouldn't even know that they were a smarta. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the whole. So it's that, you know, anybody who says, oh, that's ritualistic, either doesn't know what ritual is, or is very fixed in just what Prabhupada had given to them because they were personally present with Prabhupada and they just don't do beyond that. And that's fine because it's just focused on Prabhupada. But someone who doesn't do that and then says it's ritualistic, they don't know what ritual is. What we've been given, that's not ritual. That's easy. That's nice. And Prabhupada also said the puja should take 20 minutes. You walk on the altar, it should take 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So if you know what you're doing, that's what it takes. You know what I'm saying? Then, preparation before, cleaning up after, that's something else. But the puja itself should be 20 minutes. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's like that. Then it's something that can be done. It can be, people can do it, they can learn it, they can commit themselves. Otherwise, someone sits down and does their puja for 3 hours. They can do that. No one else can. Put the face on the deity, which is, you know, a line up, a line down, and one in the middle, and then an eyebrow above that, and then you double that on the other side, and that takes you an hour. Not many people can do that. You know what I'm saying? So for them, they're absorbed like that. But for someone else, then they put on, you know, they have already made little sliver ones and just stick them on. Right? Then they use blue tack because the, what do you call it? The beeswax, you know, some now and again you have to take it off and roll it into a ball and then stick it back on and then put it again, and they're not about to do that. So it's just, the point is that 20 minutes everybody can do. So we've been given very simple, though it's very complete. There's nothing less. The essence is there. That's why I mentioned here, this is the essence of the science, fixing the intelligence in Krishna. So it's how to fix your mind on Krishna. Does that make sense?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.